Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would, please open your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, we saw in every chapter of 1 Thessalonians that God is speaking through the Apostle Paul concerning the second coming of Christ. And in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, we again saw that there is this eager expectation of the coming of the Lord. In chapter 2 of 2 Thessalonians, this is God's word. "Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us, saying that the day of the Lord is already come. Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. Don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back, so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so till he is taken out of the way. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan, displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refused to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have delighted in wickedness. But we ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord. Because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word." May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. Again, what is the message? What is the focus of this chapter? Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him. Boy, Paul just can't get off that subject, can he? Why is that? Well, if you look in the scriptures, one of the things that you see is that God's people are those who are longing for his appearing. God's people are eager for Jesus to come again. It's not something that's like, oh, we're going to talk about the second coming? Yeah, I've heard of that. I'm not really interested. Well, you should be. You should be, because when Jesus comes again, things are going to be different. How many of you, I'll go ahead and ask for a show of hands, how many of you think that if Jesus came and made everything new, your life would improve? Let me see your hand. See, if you know Jesus, you know it's going to be better. This is not as good as it gets. This is a time when we are to endure hardship. This is a time when Jesus told us to expect tribulation, persecution, opposition, rejection. Those who know the Lord know that there is more to come. The best is yet to be. That doesn't mean that we don't have joy even in the midst of suffering. It does mean God has given us a reason for that joy. It's not just a positive outlook because we think we'll feel better if we have a positive outlook. We have a reason. We have a hope. So the main point today is stand firm and hold to the truth. Stand firm and hold to the truth. God says to us through the Apostle Paul, verse 15, so then, brothers, stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. Stand firm and hold on to the truth that you've been given. God has entrusted you with the truth. And if you believe that and live according to that, you have great encouragement no matter what you're going through.
Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, that's what's going to happen. We're going to be gathered to be with the Lord. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to Him, we ask you, brothers, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by some prophecy, report, or letter supposed to have come from us saying that the day of the Lord has already come. Why would that happen? Because Satan's a liar. Satan is a liar. And there have been many different false teachers down through the ages who have tried to take away the hope and confidence of believers who are looking forward to the coming of the Lord, saying, well, you can forget about that because that already happened. This is as good as it gets. You understand? Satan does not want God's people to know the truth, to believe the truth, and to be looking forward to the coming of the Lord. Satan doesn't want you to be looking forward to that. And so if he can lie to you and get you to think, well, it's past tense, already happened, that's going to kind of be like, oh gosh, well, so now what am I looking forward to? Old age? If this is as good as it gets, we ought to all just weep. But it's not. It's not. Do you remember in Paul's first letter? He said, brothers, we don't want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's own word, in other words, Jesus said this himself. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. Second letter. Now concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, don't let anybody con you into thinking it's over. It's already happened. Jesus said, there will be many who will come in my name saying, I am he. Don't believe it. Jesus says there will be people who will say, he's come and he's here. Let's go. Let's go see him. Jesus says, no, when I come back, it's going to be like lightning flashing across the sky. Everybody's going to see it. Everybody's going to see it. You're not going to have to go somewhere. It's not like the eclipse where you drive 6 hours in order to see things get dark for a while. Okay? It's not like that. It's not like the Northern Lights where you drive 18 hours in order to see a glorious display of electromagnetic energy. Okay? That's not it. This is going to be Jesus' glorious return in triumph. So, Paul says, don't let anyone deceive you in any way. Then he says, because that day will not come until the rebellion occurs. Now, the phrase, that day will not come, is supplied from context. It's not in the text itself. It's an understood statement. For that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. That sounds really bad. That is bad. It's going to be real bad. But it's not to catch God's people unaware. No matter how bad things get, God's people don't have to be afraid because God is still on the throne and Jesus is still coming again. Well, Pastor Wood, he then goes on to talk about that which restraineth. And he says that the Thessalonians knew what that is. He did say that. You know what is holding him back. That's what it says. Now, what I find humorous about that is that if you check, a dozen or 20 commentaries, you'll find different explanations of what's holding him back. Apparently, modern-day Christians do not know what the Thessalonians knew. But just about all the commentaries are sure. They just don't agree with each other. So, Pastor Wood, can you tell us what it is? Well, I can tell you what I believe, but don't take my word for it. The point is, God is at work and everything is happening exactly the way he said it would. You understand? Now, I was brought up with confidence in the view that what is holding him back is the presence of the Holy Spirit in the world, in the church. And that when the church is raptured, then that which restraineth is removed, and at that point the Antichrist makes his real appearance. I still kind of like that view, because I'd really like to get out of here before things get as bad as they're going to get. Okay? But I will tell you this. Christian books about the pre-tribulational rapture of the church are not big sellers in China or in Cuba or in Saudi Arabia. Well, I don't think many books are bestsellers over there. No, my point is this. People who are experiencing generational persecution are not as excited by theology that says, don't worry, we're going to get out of here before it gets bad. You understand? So on the one hand, I find that view that I was raised in very appealing. And I actually think that an argument can be made in support of it. But I also know my own capacity to tend to believe what appeals to me. And therefore, I have to be a little skeptical of my own ability to rightly discern. Does that make sense? Well, so Pastor Wood, if it's not that, what is it? I don't know. I mean, I give you there a whole bunch of other theories, but the point is this. If God had intended that everybody everywhere in all the generations that would follow would know what that meant, then he wouldn't have had Paul say, and now you know what's holding him back. He would have said it, okay? He would have specified it. But instead, he didn't say that. So the fact that we don't know it, shame on us. But if God thought you really need to know that, he would have told us explicitly, not implicitly, and open to all kinds of interpretation. When the lawless one is revealed, you need to know this. The Lord Jesus is going to overthrow him with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming. It's a word picture. God's going to go, and he's done. You understand? Have you ever heard the expression? He's going to be blown away by this. Well, God is going to just blow the Antichrist out of the water. He's going to destroy him with the breath of his mouth and the splendor of his coming. There's no contest. Satan is not the polar opposite of God. And it's like Zoroastrianism, where the yin and the yang, and in Buddhism, you've got the Star Wars, the dark force and the dark side versus the light. And it's all kind of this eternal struggle. It's not an eternal struggle. It's a temporary rebellion. And the winner has already been decided. Jesus Christ is Lord. He has all authority in heaven and on earth. God isn't on his throne saying, oh, there are too many wicked people. What am I going to do? He's already said what he's going to do. And that is to offer a way of salvation, to offer terms of peace for all who will repent. But anybody who refuses is going to be destroyed. God promises that just as surely as he promises to forgive those who come to him in repentant faith. The coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with the work of Satan displayed in all kinds of counterfeit miracles, signs, and wonders, and in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing. They're going to be deceived because they're going to see miracles and they're going to think, well, this has to be God then. I've never seen any. I mean, David Copperfield was impressive, but not like this guy. Okay? There are going to be genuine miracles done by the forces of darkness. Well, but they're counterfeit, right? Well, they're counterfeit not in the sense that they're not miracles, but they're counterfeit in the sense that they lead people to believe that that which is evil is good. But these people are going to be deceived. And they're going to perish. Yes. But look, verse 10. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. The reason that they are deceived, the reason that they perish is because when they were presented with the truth, they didn't say yes. They said no. I don't want that. You're telling me I need to repent? You're telling me that my goodness isn't good enough? You're telling me that I need a savior? No, thank you. I want to be my own boss. I want to have it my way. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth but have what? Delighted in wickedness. The reason they didn't believe the truth is because they didn't want to have to give up their sin. John chapter 3, this is the judgment. The light has come into the world and men preferred the darkness because their deeds are evil. A lot of grim stuff here. Well, keep reading. Verse 13. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers, loved by the Lord. Because from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. Heard a radio preacher the other evening, and he was saying on the radio, trying to answer a call-in question, that he doesn't believe in all that predestination stuff. Now, I was tempted to call in and say, what do you do with the verses that talk about predestination? But I already know the answer to that because I've heard this guy before. He ignores them. When he comes to a doctrine in Scripture that doesn't sit well with him, he just ignores it. Well, let me tell you something. That's a very dangerous approach to Scripture. We may not understand a lot of things that are in the Bible, but we better know that it's right, it's true, and we can always learn. So, this says, from the beginning, God chose you to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers, what are you supposed to do? Stand firm. Stand firm and hold to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. There will be great evil across the world before Christ comes again. But our job is to be ready for Jesus' return. We're supposed to be looking forward to his coming. And so may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, verse 16, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. You want to be ready for the Lord's coming? Then do what he says. Do what he says. Trust him and obey. Well, I don't understand this part. Do you understand this part? Yeah. Are you doing that? Well, not so much. I was wanting to talk about this part. Do what you know God says. Believe his word. And seek by his grace through the power of the Holy Spirit to be obedient to him. Because God's word doesn't change. We're being asked to stand firm and hold to the truth. Do what God's told us to do. He'll take care of the rest.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE. Or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood, www.pastorwood.org.